enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Boom!
Welcome.
Welcome, everybody, from Hebden Bridge and slightly further afield.
As far away as you want to be, we welcome you.
Hello, this is Left of Left Field. I'm Mark Charnock.
I'm Paul Coates, and this is Camel Fat and Elderbrook Cola.
You did well with that name.
That's what you're coming for, but they don't want to let you in. You drop your bag to the floor. You're asking what's happening. It's getting late now, hey now. Enough of the arguments. She sips a poke of cola. She can't tell the difference yet.
That's an insanely catchy track.
They're really catchy. I'm jumping around in my chair, but metaphorically in the sense that I'm not jumping around in my chair.
I've turned that song to the alarm for Tess to wake up. She says she loves it. She bounces her up in the morning. It's great. Whoever bounces up in the morning.
Yeah, I know. What the hell are you talking? What world are you living in? The world of Hebden Bridge, where everybody bounces up, don't they? Little chit-chat. This is not something I prepared at all, but it's been on my mind, so I just wanted to ask your opinion about it, really.
Is it okay to say you love somebody on air? Is that what you're about to ask?
I love you very much, mate. So, I went to university in Hull, right? And I had three magnificent years. I just loved it. Loved the city. Loved being a drama student there. All that, blah, blah, blah.
Are they offering you the key to the city?
No. So, and then I got on a two-year course in London for acting, right? Yeah. It was a place called Webber Douglas.
Shame we didn't take that anywhere.
Yeah, it really is, yeah. Anyway, when I was there, right?
Yeah.
Because I was trying to get my head around London, it's a bit of a shock when you first move there, and I've been in Hull, which is a small city, and it was just, but also because a lot of those people were just leaving home for the first time, and I'd already done that.
Yeah, yeah. Felt like a bit of a mature student.
A little bit. Yeah. There were people my age and older, but I just felt slightly outside the social circle, but they were all really nice, not a problem with any of them. Anyway, cut to last night. Right. And
that's a big leap.
Well, yeah, but there's been a reunion arranged, right?
Oh, okay.
And it's one of those WhatsApp groups. I'm not a big WhatsApp user, but there's been a WhatsApp group, and there's about 17 to 20 names on this WhatsApp group, right? And so I took it upon myself last night, because they're arranging a reunion for for mid-December, okay?
Just your year?
Just sort of people who were in that immediate... Okay. It was a bit of there were overlaps in years, because on a one-year course, some on a three-year course, but we were the two-year course, but there were sort of people who overlapped. Yeah. Sort of the graduates of 91, basically.
Yeah, okay.
And, so there's about 20 names. So I decided to go through each person, because you can, there's profiles, right? Because it was just like, sometimes it was just a number, or sometimes just the beginning of a name. So I thought, who is that? Yeah. But what disturbed me about it was, and so this is what I'm getting
you
to,
can't
right?
remember any of them.
No. Yeah. And not because they weren't like, it's, I mean, you know when you think, oh, I don't remember that name, or I don't remember, and then you sort of look at the face. And it's still, and what, I suppose the question I'm asking myself, and asking you really, and the audience, is it because the whole thing was the formative thing for me, or was it because I simply, because they were so vivid at the time, I'm good at keeping in touch with people.
Okay, well.
But none of these people have really kept in touch with me, but I don't even remember when I'm looking at their faces, isn't that weird? It's weird, isn't it?
But I don't know, mate.
I feel guilty about it.
Well, I did my film course probably a similar time.
Yeah.
Similar time difference between now and then. And there was Vicky, who I fell in love with. She was the first woman that I properly fell in love with. There's a friend, Clive, who I've remained friends with, who's a great screenwriter, Clive Dawson. Beyond them, probably Karina and a couple of others, but the majority, and now we're talking 24, I would have to be in the room and I would have to have a conversation, and then we would get to some memories. And I think it's just my head is full.
Is that what it is? Because there's four people who
have
stayed in touch with, so obviously I'm in touch with them all the time.
Yeah.
These four blokes, very close.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
But the people... But I was with them for 2 years. That's what's disturbing
about it.
And some of them are like successful actors as well. You know, they've done really, really well. And yet, I just can't recall being with them. Isn't that weird?
I feel like those memories get triggered when I'm with people again, when we talk.
But my whole memories are still vivid.
Right, okay. Well, I have no whole memories.
I don't remember getting drunk for 2 years. I don't think that's what it was. Anyway, sorry, what do you want to talk about?
We went to... My dad couldn't drive recently for a few weeks, and my great-uncle, who... is lives in Wales, that the Welsh part of our family.
Yeah.
He died sadly, and we had to go to a funeral. Oh. So I said I would drive me dad, and it's a good 2.5 hours. And yeah. the funeral was, you know, we had to be there for 10:30, and
oh,
so
blimey.
Yeah, we'd got the time that we were going to leave. My dad was just sort of faffing around a bit, and I think it's because he was upset, and yeah. I think it's because yeah. it brought up memories of my mum and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, bless him. But I couldn't. He spent an hour looking for the postcode of where we were going.
An hour. Wow.
And he brought out an address book that my mum had written. We couldn't read her writing and all this kind of stuff. And so I said, "Look, Dad, we've got to go. We'll just get in the car and you text somebody.
Yeah, of course.
Just text them and ask for the postcode."
Probably could have come up with that solution.
No,
45
I'd said
minutes
that.
Earlier.
I said that many times, but he was like, "No, I've got it somewhere."
Yeah.
So we're in the car driving, not sure where we're going, and just Wales,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I hear him swear when he's sending a text, and he went, "That'll have to do."
Oh, that sound immediately, I'm kind of like the alarm bells are ringing.
And I'm sensitive to my dad not being in a great space, so yeah. I'm trying not to get angry, but he's my dad.
Hey, you know? Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah.
And so I said, "Oh, what you sent?" He said, "Well, I just said send Posey." He said, "They'll understand."
Send what?
Send Posey.
What does that mean?
He's after postcode, right?
He said the word "send Posey."
That's the entire text. "Send Posey" says to me.
Doesn't that?
They'll understand.
Well, I don't understand.
I know. So I said, "I don't think they will, Dad." Really calm. "I don't think they will." Yes, they
Why
will.
Why didn't you just write postcode?
Because it was a new phone and it was like...
Posey?
I know.
That'll have to do.
So I eventually get him to resend the text saying, "Could you send me the postcode of where we're going?" Right? Does that. 45 minutes later, nothing.
Oh, God.
Have they not? No. And then he says, "It might be because I sent it to Brian's phone."
Oh, dead Brian. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
So anyway, he sends it to somebody else. We get the postcode immediately. It's all fine. But that was just that hour of trying to get a postcode that we could get to.
Wow.
With me being as diplomatic as
How gritted were your teeth?
Very. I was holding that steering wheel with white knuckles. Let's have a song, mate.
Okay. This is... This is Utican by Novo Amor. I think he's a Welsh singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
And I don't usually like falsetto singers, but it's something really beautiful.
It's very beautiful, this.
It's time for inventions.
We've
right?
had a Which very is, interesting conversation it's, between
it's,
this song.
It's part of the show where, like, Paul or I will come up with some inventions and the other person has to guess which one they've made up, right? This is the conversation two very middle-aged men have just had. Paul has a long-standing reputation for saying stuff on the show that we've had to edit out, right? And he's never seemed to understand that we can't swear, that we can't say ultra-rude things. So, Paul's... Just tell them what the theme is.
The theme is words that sound rude, but crucially, they're not rude.
Right.
They just sound
that's
rude.
That's fine.
And I checked with you a few weeks ago, and you said...
You didn't check with me the words. He said, "I've got some rude words. They're rude, but they're not actually...
No, they sound rude.
They sound rude, but they're not rude." And I went, "Oh, fine." And then he's just read me some of them out, right? I've had to edit him down like he's 7 years old.
Okay.
The swearing and the imagery was absolute. It was X-rated. So what you're about to get is the edited version of this idiot's inventions. And
okay.
I apologise in advance.
Okay.
Right, so words that sound rude but aren't.
Yeah.
Now, remember, all the way through, this is a family audience.
Okay, so this first one...
Don't say okay quickly and move on. I want you to know that I've understood.
That's right. This first one you said I can't say, so I'm going to go with... It's your backside,
right?
And it's what a violinist does. What his violin might be called?
Fiddling.
Yeah, so it's your backside fiddle, that right? Okay,
right.
That's the
audience has no idea what's going on.
Okay, it's bum fiddle. That's all right, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Just.
And it means to pollute or spoil something, in particular by scribbling or drawing on a document to make it invalid. That would be.
Interesting.
So you've bum fiddled that document.
Well, stop saying it.
Sorry.
You're allowed to say that never again.
Okay,
really.
I won't say that again, even on the summing up.
All right.
Okay. A knobsworth.
Okay, that's fine.
Is a measurement that preceded cups and pints. So a knob.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is where it
that's good,
from.
Yeah,
so
I believe that. I think
butter.
That might be real, yeah.
You could have a knobsworth of whiskey.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
Clatter fart.
All right, be careful. Okay.
According to Tudor Dictionary, published in 1552,
yeah.
A clatterfart is someone who will disclose any light secrete. In other words, it's a gossip or a blabbermouth. I shouldn't have bothered with the really old English reading of it.
Yeah.
It's basically a clatterfart is a gossip or a blabbermouth. So those are my
okay.
two.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm going to guess which one of those you've made up.
I'm going to guess so.
Right, I'll just tell you which one it is.
Okay.
Right? It's the one that you weren't allowed to say at the beginning.
No, that's a real word.
Okay, don't say it. We all know what the word
is. So it's
was.
A 50-50 between Nobsworth and clatterfart. I never thought I'd say that.
Is this clatterfart, yeah.
No, it's not. It's a Nobsworth.
Right, stop saying them all. That's it. Right, you win that round, but let's just move on.
Shall we have another song?
Let's have another song and another chat, and then we'll come back and we'll do a few more of those, but very, very, very tentatively.
Okay.
Good God.
This is this year's model, which is from... fantastic series, The Juice, David Sam's new series, and it's Elvis Costello and the Attractions.
Selling the Attractions there. No, we're coming back here, right? Paul's got some inventions, and I just want to remind the audience, these are words that sound rude.
No,
but they're real words, but they sound rude, but they aren't actually rude.
I've
told him that the ice he's skating on is incredibly thin.
And because of that, what I've done is I did very, very sensibly, I think.
No, you've not been sensible at all throughout this.
I did, in reserve, have three that don't even sound rude. They're just
okay.
Silly words.
Okay.
Two are real and one's made up.
Okay.
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 So luckily, you'll never find out what dick is.
You had to say it, didn't you?
Okay.
Why don't you just tell us what that is? Don't say the word again.
Okay.
Just tell us what it is.
It's standing little more than a foot tall at the shoulder. The dick, sorry, is one of the smallest antelopes in all of Africa.
I think I've heard of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
so that's real. So you're going to give us three words now.
Silly.
Right.
Cattywampus.
Say it again for me.
Cattywampus.
What's that?
You want me to spell it?
No.
No, okay. It's a term you'll find in the Midland or Southern United States. It's referring to something that is disarray, that is askew, or something that isn't directly across from something. So, a post office might be cattywampus from the library.
No. No.
Okay.
No way.
Tinkerbumbalicious.
What?
Tinkerbumbalicious.
Tinkerbumbalicious.
It's right. An adjective to describe being tickled pink or giddy with glee. As in, when I came down that Christmas morning, realising Santa Claus had been, I was overcome with tinkerbumbaliciousness.
Right, okay. That's such a you word, that's the one you've made up. Whatever you say next, that's the one you made up.
What about bumbershoot?
Wait a minute. There's a new contender. There's a new boy in town. Go on.
Okay. It's
a bumbershoot.
It's referring to an umbrella. Or something that we've had in many Disney films or in many different books. So it's quite fun to grab your umbrella and say in a fun voice, I think I need my bumbershoot today.
Wow.
So did I make up cattywampus?
I'm going to say these three are good. They are good because I genuinely can't tell.
There's no edge to them, though. I like the edge. The edge.
Not sure, but can I just say, I think you're Stuart Lee. Because we can't do edge. It's a family show.
Cattywampus.
Why have you never got that?
If it was a bit more edgy...
This is the 58th radio show. You still don't seem to get it.
Come on.
Right, go on.
Cattywampus.
Yeah.
Adjacent or across from Tinkerbumbalicious. Overcome with glee. Or bumbershoot, another word for your umbrella.
Oh, God. Tinkerbumbalicious. I can't believe I'm saying this stuff out loud.
Put it in a sentence. If you were right... You would be...
I've won the pools on Tiki Bumbalicious.
Yeah,
well, did you make it up?
Of course I
did. Let's do another song while I kill you.
Okay, this is Island by Unknown Neighbour.
You're like an island, a moment of silence in a hidden bay.
cool.
Some good music this week. I know. I didn't say so ourselves. We're good at the music.
Do you want another word? One last word.
One last rude word.
That I didn't get to use.
Right, be careful.
No, it's not that rude. It's just a great word. It's a snollygoster. A snollygoster.
It sounds like, do you know what it sounds like? A Roald Dahl made up word. You know, like a schnozberry or something like that. Go on.
And just at this moment in time, I just think it's suitably apt.
What is it?
It refers to a politician who does or says things for their own personal advancement instead of following the principles. A snollygoster.
There can be only one. Actually, there can be tons. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right now,
tons.
Absolutely.
As we speak, as people pour out of the cabinet, the people who've set up this.
Maybe you'd like to take a guess at who we're talking about. In which case, you can get in touch with us.
You just slid into that.
I segued the hell out of that.
Like, you can get in touch with us. I'm at Mark Charnock on Twitter.
Yeah, and I'm at Paul Coates with an underscore, at Paul Coates underscore.
You can email us, leftoffleftfield@gmail.com.
Yeah, you can get in touch with the show via the website, which is www.hebdenradio.co.uk.
Is that all the things?
They're on Twitter, Hebden_radio.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So you can get, and if, you know, you want to answer a question on air, if you want a song request, just let us know. We can
song fill. Request, we'll give that one.
No, you know.
If you request a song that either of us like, we'll play it.
Yeah, it does kind of depend on that. We're not that easy. Right, let's have another song, speaking of.
Oh, do you know what? I'm just going to.
This is Paul Shosh. I don't actually not listen to this.
Right,
one,
I'm going to put an introduction to this, simply because we tend to keep our songs around 4 minutes. Mm. But I've deliberately picked some short songs because I've been wanting to play this one forever. So it's a long song, it's 6 minutes, but it's wonderful. It's by The Frames, which is Glenn Hansard is the singer from.
Yes.
Glenn Hansard, who was in The Commitments, he did Once. Brilliant.
Oh my God, with the red hair. Yeah, an Oscar for the song for
absolutely.
Once. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So this song,
I've listened to his album. Is this on the new album?
No. This is The Frames, which is the band that he was in, an Irish band.
Right, okay.
And it's a song called Fitzcarraldo. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, and the drumming in this, it's got this lazy snare drum that I absolutely.
He's gone quite bluesy in his older age, hasn't he? He's gone really bluesy. He's got something about it, he's really charismatic, this guy.
So listen, put the kettle on, sit back and listen to this. 6 minutes, see you in a bit.
My spell, it's time for Mid-LOL in your dreams. It's a part of the show that we make up every week, baby. It's Mid-LOL. So this is a part. What the hell?
I don't know.
That was a waste of everybody's lives, wasn't it? This is a part of the show where we just do anything we want.
Yeah,
really. This is a bit like a song versions writing this time this week, but it's basically this is you really have to. It's three things. The round is called What Would Jacob Rees-Mogg Do?
Oh wow!
And. I'm going to give you there's a few here. Which of these things that he did in his life did I make up? So it's a bit like Adventures really, but it's just a true or false round really.
I might
do it like that. Yeah, I might
true
do it
as a false. True or false, and then it sounds less like Invention.
Excellent. Okay. So some of these he did.
Yes.
Some I've made up.
And so I have no idea how many.
I'm going to change it so we don't get to. Some of these he allegedly did.
That's better.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think they are true, actually, some of them. But anyway, we'll see. Right, ready? So, true or false?
Yeah.
While he was at Eton, he paid boys to accompany him with an umbrella lest it rained. True or false?
The thing is, I can so see it. I know I'm going to say true to all of them. True?
It is true.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Here's another one. Ready? It's amazing.
Can you not just carry an umbrella?
Apparently not.
Okay.
Apparently, when you're thinking about Thatcherism, it's too weighty anyway. Right, next one. It's quite hard.
It's hard to actually say it.
All right. He had shares in the General Electric Company at the age of 10. At the age of 13, he called the chairman pathetic at a shareholders meeting.
Can you own shares under 18 then? That's the thing that I'm thinking.
Who knows?
I'm going to say false.
It's true. It's true. He went to a shareholders meeting and he told the chairman, I think he's called Lord Nelson Whip, the chairman that the share prices he was giving out were pathetic. Okay, next one.
When I was 13, I was just getting told off and sent to my room.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
When he was at Eton.
Yeah.
There's a lot of this. He paid boys to brush his teeth.
No.
What?
That's false.
It is false, yeah. Okay. When he was at Eton.
Yeah.
He paid boys to clean his shoes.
True.
It is true. When he was at Eton.
And I bet some of them cleaned the shoes with his toothbrush and never told him.
He paid boys to be his friends.
That is absolutely 100% true.
That's false. Oh. That's false. You're doing well, though. You're doing well. He said, apparently without irony, that if pyjamas came as a three-piece suit, he'd be first in line.
What? So he would like to wear a three-piece set of pyjamas to bed?
Mm.
True.
It is true. It is true.
It's true and sad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
If he was a pair of pyjamas at a three, would he still have a pocket watch, even in bed?
Probably. And a top hat. Okay. He once co-owned a French company that supplied the most frog's legs to restaurants in Paris.
What a random fact. False.
It is false. I made it up in my head. Okay.
What's that going to do with Jacob Rees-Mogg?
I don't know. What about this? Bearing in mind, he's very, very profoundly Catholic. You know, he's anti-abortion, okay, all that stuff. But he's obviously against, same-sex marriage, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
He has never kind of eaten a banana because of its troubling shape.
The only image I've got right now.
Yep.
Is Jacob Rees-Mogg in a three-piece set of pyjamas and a top hat with his brush coming down the stairs with a banana,
but just shaking his head at it
and just going, bananas, bananas are coming down the stairs. False.
It is false. Of course he's eating banana. He loves them, I assume. I think that's all of them. So that's all of them. That's all of the things about Jacob Rees-Mogg. My round of what would Jacob Rees-Mogg do? I think you won. I think you won 5-2, though.
I think I did very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the frog's legs.
Sorry. And I'm sorry about the banana. Sorry, everyone. Let's have another song.
Let's have another song.
Oh, this is Rustin Kelly and Mockingbird.
Mark, I'm going to tell you what I love. Yes!
This is a bit of the show where... I don't know, I'm still doing the voice. This is a bit of the show where we just talk about things we like. Could be books, could be podcasts, could be films, could be music, could be just going out, could be writing. Anything that we think you might like that we like.
Yeah. And mine is a sequel.
Oh!
And when I heard that they were doing a second series of this, I was a bit like, okay, really? Because I was so blown away by it. It's Making a Murderer.
Right.
So Making a Murderer.
Which I've sort of been avoiding.
I know. I went to it with a kind of a heavy heart. Mm. But don't avoid it.
Really?
Honestly, it's better than the first series.
Really?
It's better than the first series. So Making a Murderer was one of my swallow wells a couple of years ago. It's on Netflix. And it's this. It was an absolute monster hit.
Yeah.
About a travesty. In short, I'm basically... Stephen Avery, he was a man who was been in prison for a rape he never did, and he was found with DNA evidence and was released after, I think, 18 years, I can't quite remember, sorry, was released. He was suing the state for millions.
False imprisonment.
False imprisonment, yeah. And wrongful arrest and all that kind of thing. And he won that case before they had the payout. He was arrested for murder and put in prison again.
Because mysteriously, a body turned up on his
property. Not really. Well, I mean, the facts...
Don't
of
spoil
the,
it.
No, no, but the facts of the first case say not really a body.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the whole case, it really does look... And the overriding evidence is a confession by his nephew.
Who was borderline learning
disabilities. Yeah, he has learning disabilities, and the interview clearly...
You see the video of the interview, they are just manipulating it in an extraordinary way. I cannot believe...
And he's in prison too. I mean, out of everything, that is the biggest travesty.
Yeah.
So anyway, Making a Murderer 2 picks up 2 years later, in real time, the case has been taken over a very famous lawyer, Kathleen Zellner, and she takes apart every bit of the case and a lot of what both the defence teams didn't do.
Okay.
And so you come away at the end of it going, there is no evidence. It's astonishing what's been done.
Yeah.
And yet still the legal system is not taking responsibility. It's fantastic. It's absolutely brilliant. And what Making a Murderer does, I think, fantastically, they have sat with the family. They are in the family's homes. Mm-hmm. You are seeing the effect that this imprisonment has had and continues to have. It also takes into account the fame of Making a Murderer. Mm-hmm. So you get characters that have come in that are piggybacking on the fame. He meets he ends up in about to marry somebody, and I won't tell you what happens there. Yeah. It's just fantastic. It's awful. It's awful and fantastic, and as good, if not better, than the first.
Interesting.
So wow. I highly recommend that. Right. Highly recommend that. Yeah. So let's have another song.
Yes, brilliant. This is your song. Who's this?
Yeah, so this is by Perfume Genius. It's a lovely song, and I like to think it's singing about me. It's my body.
Good God. Okay, so it's time for my swell oh well.
Big one.
Swell oh well.
Boggy bean.
Oh, Marky, what do you been liking now? Well, I'll tell you. So recently you and I, Paul, had a conversation about how I said, you were saying that about films and stuff like that, it's getting harder to get through films.
Yeah.
Because TV's so good and TV's shorter and tells the story. But I've got a bit of a thing now, but series that are more than six episodes, I think, are too much.
Yeah.
However, I've got an exception. So I'm a big horror fan. I used to sort of co-run the Leeds Horror Film Festival, really big horror fan, and I was slightly dreading The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, I've not seen this yet. I'm hearing very good things though.
It's magnificent.
Is it?
It's surprisingly magnificent on Netflix.
Of what age would you say is it for?
You don't want to be under 15. It's creepy. It's just creepy. Yeah.
Great.
It is creepy.
Great.
It's not that it's not. It's definitely a 15. It's unsettling. It stays with you.
Yeah.
It's directed and written by Mike Flanagan, who's got a bit of a track record with his wife, who's an actress, as a co-writer. They did a film called Ouija, Origin of Evil, a few years ago, which was a sequel to a film, a very bad and unsuccessful film called Ouija. He did the sequel, and it was very frightening.
Right. I've not seen that.
So, Mike Flanagan's taking hold of this. Obviously, the original book is by Shirley Jackson. It's an American classic. The Haunting of Hill House, this big looming house in the middle of nowhere and how it affected the people in it. Very famous film in, I think, 60, 61, called The Haunting.
Yeah.
Brilliant. A very bad remake with Liam Neeson in the 90s. And now this. 10 episodes, absolutely captivating all the way through. And what they do is, it's this family go into this house to renovate it, and it starts to have a very profound psychological effect on them. And there are ghosts everywhere, and there are people. But what it does is it cuts between childhood and their adulthood and how it's affected them, like as in drug abuse, broken relationships. So what
do you say then?
The family who experienced it as children. Who are now grown up.
Great. Okay.
So it keeps jumping back and forth between.
That's very good. Zones. I like that.
And it really. So each episode, it focuses on one member of the family and how the haunting affected them in relation to their family. So what it is really is a family drama that happens to have supernatural elements to it, but blimey, the supernatural elements are so well done. I mean, it is genuinely scary, I would say, in parts.
Fantastic.
It's got great twists. It's very, very well written. It's got great visual motifs. And intriguingly, the nerd in me sort of started to look it up after I'd finished watching it. What he's done is, and this is great for you having not watched it.
Okay.
He's just, to the point of almost invisibility, layered ghosts into a lot of scenes that have no bearing on the plot. They're just in the background.
But you can see them?
Just. So just on the periphery of your vision.
And do you find yourself watching them then?
Only after I found out about it. You do kind of, there's Some that are clearer than others, but some you just wouldn't see.
And would you say that you're subliminally aware of them without?
That's why he's done it. He's done it to he's just done it to layer on layer on layer. And it's just what it does is, because of the adult suffering of what happened before, some of the kids believe what happens to them, some don't.
Right.
So there's this.
Oh, that's good.
There's five kids, so there's a real real fight between the ones who completely believe what happens to them and those who are just in complete denial about it. And it's a real mass entertainment achievement. It's very populist in the sense that it's going for a big audience. It's very commercial, but it's really well made. And in one of the episodes, there's this absolutely triumphant thing, whether at a funeral, or I won't say whose funeral it is, but it's the night before the funeral, and there's a 15-minute take.
Right.
And there's a moment in it, and this isn't spoiling the plot, where the father comes in, and all these people, they've lost somebody, and his kids are all sat there, and the camera goes with him away, talks to them, and he turns back to them, and they're just all children again. So they've replaced them with the children that we've already seen from the past, and it's just him seeing them as his kids again, and seeing how vulnerable they are as adults, and what happens to them. Honestly, talking about it, the goosebumps are going from my neck, but it really sustains itself over 10 episodes. And it's a great psychological drama. It's just really, really well put together.
That sounds like absolutely
fantastic. Yeah, I hope I've not overdone it for you, but
no.
I think you'll like it. I really do.
There's a lot about that. As we always say when we talk about things like horror, you've got to root the horror. You've got to root that. So it's about family, like you said. And if we care about that family, we'll care about them being scared.
There's some wonderful performances in it, and some of the moments in it are genuinely freaky, really freaky. You know, there's some really good invention in it, and it's just a good ghost story, very well told.
It's very weak.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah, that's mine. So thank you for listening, everyone. We're going to play you out with one more song. It's Johnny Marr. Yeah, you know, the good one from the Smiths.
You tend to love him more now, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And his new album's great. He's great. He's still one of the great innovative musical artists, isn't he?
Yeah.
So this is Johnny Marr from his album. This is Jeopardy. And thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time. Lots of love. Bye.